Some viewers may find the following video disturbing. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Happy New Year, everybody. And welcome into another wonderful edition of the S&J podcast with...
I'm Shelby.
And I'm James. And I'd just like to point out we are sponsored by no one. So... Happy New Year, Shell. I know you are happy as hell right now.
Happy New Year.
And you're obviously happy for obviously other reasons.
Go Notre Dame. That was an awesome game. Good job, you guys.
Absolutely. So let's just jump right into it. You know, we talked a little bit before in our last episode about, you know, being married and how we met and everything. I want to get a little bit deeper now. What's your goal for 2025?
I have a few. The first one would be, honestly, to focus on myself, focus on getting healthier, working on being a good wife and a good mom, kind of just taking this year by the seat of their pants and seeing where we go.
I want to see you be brave. I'm sorry, that's not trying to throw you off here. All right, so then I guess I'll answer this question then. What my goal is for 2025 here is, you know, I want to remain healthy. 2024, I didn't have like health scares or anything, just a lot of, I guess, crap that I was dealing with, you know. I had my knee gel injections to kind of give me some cartilage to make those feel better. Hurt my back playing hockey, threw up before a game, and then ended up tweaking my back during that game. You know, gotta love getting hurt during blowouts, you know, but it is what it is. You know, and then just the double ear infections, which is weird. You know, I attribute, you know, ear infections to like being a little kid. So when you get one for the first time in like 20 years, it kind of catches you off guard a little bit. So I would say, you know, staying healthy, definitely playing more hockey. Mm-hmm. You know, now that I feel like I'm healthier now, I can definitely play a little bit more hockey, which we'll get into that in a little bit, you know, and we talk about this all the time. You know, we want to be more financially independent. Mm-hmm. You know, and just saving money to help make that happen. You know,
exactly.
Shelby and I, we went to the Sky Ridge Apartments in Crystal Lake. And Shel, I want you to kind of talk about what you envisioned when you were in that apartment that we looked at.
So we looked at one of the apartments. It was called the Seagull. Absolutely fell in love with it when we walked in. It was very, very spacious. It was a lot bigger for our family. And I saw Jimmy, of course, running around when we got there and having fun. But I also envisioned him living there and just growing and being the kid that he is. I love the size of his room was the one thing that caught me, was like the way we could put all of his toys. Mind you, parents, you probably understand without how many toys these kids can have. He's got a ton. I was just picturing his room as the way he wanted it. And right now it's all Blackhawks and hockey theme. I'll probably continue that once we move, when we decide to, but that is probably a really good thing because our bedroom too, that's what I saw too, has its own master suite, which is awesome.
And for those of you who are not familiar with that, it's more of a master bathroom, which is sweet.
Yes.
And it'll be nice having more than one bathroom in an apartment. You know, we laughed, you know, when we went and saw this the other day, you know, just about the luxuries per se that can come within an apartment. So like where we live now, we don't have like in-unit washer, dryer, no dishwasher, no really anything. And then, you know, you saw the walk-in closet and you're like, oh my God.
There is literally two of them. There's one for our room. And then Jimmy, our little man, has his own walk-in closet. It is huge. We have like probably four closets that we saw when we were there that had more room than we do here. It's amazing. We were so excited.
You can't go wrong with a pool and a basketball court and a gym either.
And a playground. So it'll be fun. And we just found out, too, they have a volleyball net set up. And it's all sand. But also, they're putting in a pickleball, which is phenomenal.
Yeah. Do you even play pickleball?
I've never heard of pickleball, so I'm going to get hate for it because I've never heard of it.
So what happens is you take a dill pickle, like a Vlasic, and you just hit it with a racket, and you just try to yeet it at the other person. I'm obviously kidding here. So basically picture like tennis.
Okay.
Like, cause they have tennis courts there, which mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get back into playing tennis too, mm-hmm. you know, and that sort of stuff, you yeah. know, and then, you know, you mentioned the volleyball court and, you know, the people there were like, yeah, you know, just buy your kid some sand toys. And if there's no one there using it, you know, just go ahead and let them play. And it's cheap.
We do want to give a shout out to them. They were phenomenal. They were so good. They were very helpful and very like explanatory of everything. So we definitely give a shout out to Sky Ridge Apartments, and they are awesome.
Absolutely. And don't ever get us canceled, Shelby, because a lot of people will, if we ever do move from this wonderful place that we currently live in, which I'm not going to name because, no. you know, in case, you know, my wife who wants to get us canceled, you know, I want a place to live. So thank you for, you know, sharing that little tidbit of information.
Wait, I know we were talking about health and everything. I want to be better on keeping my kidneys clean. I had a procedure this year.
I don't know which one.
I know I had multiple procedures. I had a procedure done on my kidney, which required them to go in and kind of remove kidney stones. If anyone's ever had kidney stones, they are not fun. They are worse than giving birth.
yes to baby number two, ?
No. but definitely just keeping up with my health and staying on top of water intake. James can vouch for that. I drink more water than a camel, just saying, and a horse.
You sure about that? You sure about that? I don't know. Lately, it seems like you're slacking in that department, but you know what? That's okay. I forgive you. It's all good.
But, no. So,
yeah, while you're taking a sip of your water over there, what's something different you would like to do that you didn't in the year 2024?
Honestly, I know we had this conversation. I think we had this conversation the other night.
I want to see you be brave.
Okay, I can't have a conversation right now. I would say more time with my little guy and my husband. Sometimes it might be the little guy over the husband most days.
Just for clarification, your husband is not a little guy. I am 6'5", okay? That is not little.
Less time on my phone. I've seen that I've been on my phone a lot more. Goodness, I cannot talk on this one. Just less time, more reading, more time with family, just spending time with everyone and kind of just taking it easy this year and just working on financial stuff and just getting us prepared to move. And the only thing is that we've been talking about this. It's hard right now to be ready to move because our lease isn't up yet. So we've been looking and this one caught our eye and we definitely want to move there. And it's just, we can't move exactly until October. So we're kind of stuck until now. So yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily looking at it as being stuck. I would, you know, look at it as an opportunity to really hone in on those goals, mm-hmm. you know, toward moving towards, you know, financial independence to where you're not necessarily living paycheck to paycheck, and one tiny setback mm-hmm. isn't gonna, you know, completely railroad what it is you want to do for the rest of the year. Now, I would say something different that I want to do this year as opposed to last year. I feel like I'm way too nice as a person. So my goal and my New Year's resolution, and I feel like this is a completely, I'm completely able to do this, is I need to be more of an asshole. And I definitely need to start treating people accordingly. And you and I have had conversations about this. I'm not going to call people out by names. No. You know, luckily we have great friends and family who are very supportive. Mm-hmm. Like, those would never be the people that I'm talking about. No. You know, but just becoming more of a menace, I guess, per se, to kind of let people know this is the year I'm going to finally put my foot down and say, you're not going to stand here and fuck with me.
Basically.
And if we're, and if you're going to try, we're going to have some problems.
Exactly.
Because I'm, as I said, 6'5", you know, the size that I am a problem. And I am, I'd like to think about myself as a very kind person, mm-hmm. you know, but sometimes I think people mistake my kindness for weakness. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with that. Obviously, if you don't ever cross me, we're going to have a good relationship, you know, but everybody has their breaking points. And, you know, I kind of feel like it's why it's important on kind of why Shelby and I wanted to start this in the first place was just so that it is a way of kind of like our therapy. You know, that way if stuff is honestly bothering us and we made a rule, no trauma dumping unless it's mm-hmm. we've talked to the other person about it.
Exactly.
You know, because I don't obviously want to surprise you with things, and I know you don't want to surprise me with things. So, you know, I just want to be the best person that I can be, but I have my limitations.
Exactly.
And I'm strictly talking words here before anybody gets any weird ideas. That I'm like ready to go full on MMA, beat the living shit out of people. That is not my.
I've talked about MMA a lot when we've watched it. You've been, you're like, oh, I can hop in the ring with someone. Mind you, no.
Hold on though. All right. Because when I talk about hopping in the ring for MMA, I talk about being sponsored by Sleep Number because I'd be getting the best sleep of my life. All right, you look at these guys in the UFC, you think, honestly, I could take anybody in my weight class? Because realize my weight class is the Derek Lewis's, the Daniel Cormier's, the John Jones's. John Jones is the GOAT. Mm-hmm. They would all put me to sleep. And, you know, it's just, I obviously joke about this stuff, you know. I have a very dark sense of humor. Helps me cope with a lot of things in daily life. So while we've completely gotten off track here.
Oops.
That's okay. You know, we're just sitting here. We're having a friendly conversation. But I do want you to know that this is the year.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to have a problem, we're going to talk about it.
It's like that quote that I have in the kitchen. It's a new year, same us, bigger goals.
Live, laugh, love.
Mind you, I do not have that in our apartment. I am not allowed to have that in the apartment.
You're damn right.
All right, let's get back on track.
All right. So, you don't necessarily, we're not stating our employers here. You know where we all work. But you're getting ready to start your new job on Monday.
I am.
What excites you the most about this new endeavor?
I am very excited to just start the new journey. I know it wasn't easy the last couple months, but I am very excited to see where this goes. I'm very excited to see where my goals and where I can go from here and just grow, honestly. So I'm ready. I'm excited for it.
Absolutely. You know, and we talk about always wanting bigger and better things mm-hmm. for each other, and for our family, mm-hmm. you know, here, I think you really have an opportunity to do that.
Exactly.
And you get to show people that, you know, you're finally, and I'm we're not talking money here. I'm just saying you're finally going to get paid for your worth.
Exactly.
And your expertise and your experience. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's something I feel like it lacked for, you know, you in the past. Yeah. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you're any less of a person mm-hmm. if you don't make as much money. There's some times where you get stuck in jobs, mm-hmm. as we've talked about many times before, yep. you know, where you know the worth that you bring to the mm-hmm. table. You know that you should be making more money.
Yeah.
Or you should be in a completely different field.
Exactly.
You know, so it's nice to see you finally get to do that per se.
I get to actually grow and become the person I actually like want to be with this company, and I am so excited to see where it goes from everything and whatnot.
So just to clarify, you're done growing at 5'3", right?
I am done growing, but mentally I will grow every day if I need to. And, so
you know, one of the things that I've learned about you just, you know, over the past 5 years that we've been together is, oh my God, not only are you resilient, but just how mentally tough you are, because there's been a lot of stuff that's happened maybe in the last couple of years that would have broken a lot of people.
Oh, it would have. I agree. We've been through a lot personally. Like,
right. We're not going to get into specifics on that, because a lot of that is private family life.
Exactly.
And, you know, we're giving you guys a glimpse of something like into our lives, but
we're not trying to trauma dump on people, so we're just you know,
it's stuff that we handle ourselves
exactly and differently than everyone else. I mean, you have to have that like support system that has been there from the beginning. I mean, being the way we are, like, we always leaned on each other, and that's something that we've always needed for each other ever since we started dating. I mean, we've been through so much the first few years of our relationship, and then now it's like, how far can we push each other now to grow from all of that?
Well, you know, and being that, you know, we're both athletes.
Exactly. Now, yeah.
I don't mean this meanly. Mm-hmm. I use the term, you know, very loosely. You know, because you did have the shoulder injury.
I did.
You're not able to compete, but you still have that state of mind, mm-hmm. you know, just like I do as a hockey player, mm-hmm. you know, that same thing when you're on the ice, you're playing for your teammates. Yeah. Every day, your mentality should be, I'm doing this for not only myself, mm-hmm. but I'm doing this for my spouse and my kids if I have any.
Exactly.
You know, it goes back to, you know, that saying, you know, playing for each other, mm-hmm. you're not just doing things for yourself anymore.
Exactly.
You know, speaking of not doing things for yourself nowadays, got a little dude in the other room who's becoming very independent.
He is very independent. My goodness, this little guy. Oh my goodness. Today we were tested today with with our little man. We had a little bit of a rough day. I don't know if parents have probably been through this before with your guys' kids. We are reaching almost 2 years old, so we're getting to about the terrible twos. If any parents have any ideas of like how you keep them calm or how you do anything, please let us know.
That. I mean, Jesus, it's literally, I don't know if you've seen the first Inside Out movie where, well, I guess Joy disappears in both of them.
Joy does disappear, yeah.
It's like anger and sadness are controlling his mind mm-hmm. right now. And I mean, you know, we talk about his development. Yeah. He's teething. You know,
this kid was teething like crazy today. He was drooling. He was, all he wanted was just snuggles. And it was hard trying to get anything done. But we were determined to make sure that little guy was taken care of and whatnot.
You know, so let me pose you this question. What excites you most about his development?
I know, but last time I said it was his talking. Mm-hmm. Now it's his emotions. We've been working with it. We've talked to him. We're kind of like, hey, I know you're upset, but we need to take a breath, go take a breath, walk away or something.
It together. I mean, Jesus, you're almost 2 years old. You should have your whole life figured out by now, right? What do you want to do with your life? I'm kidding, obviously.
It's hard because at this age, I know a lot of parents that I've met and I've worked with are like, how do you handle this terrible twos come in? And it's what I've always read, or I've always been told, that between the year and the 2 years old, that's the hardest, because they're working on the emotions. They're starting to talk more. They're starting to develop. We have our own little secret language with him. Somehow we still understand him. James sometimes doesn't understand it, but I do. And it's just, of course, I've been with him the last couple months, but it's been to a point where sometimes he'll say something and James is like, What the heck did he just say? Like,
most of the time when he gets into his baby babble, it turns into, I don't know what he said, and I don't think he knows either. So, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, what excites you about, you know, his development. What do you as a mother struggle with the most with how independent he's becoming?
Well, we just discovered he's off the bottle. That broke my heart. But
he drinks bottles of milk.
Yeah, whole milk.
When you say off the bottle, you make him sound like he needs to go to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay, mind you, bottles are like the baby bottles. He still has, like, he used to still have a nighttime bottle. He's officially off the nighttime bottle. We just have sippy cups now. It is the hardest thing to see him grow, because being the mother and being there all the time to see him grow, it's so hard to see that my little guy and our little guy is not this little baby who needs four bottles out of the day and is just, he's so much more independent. He wants a sippy cup. He wants to help. My favorite thing is every time after a meal, like if he knows we're done and he sees an empty plate, he will pick it up and carry it to the garbage can and throw it out. It is the cutest thing, but at the same time, it breaks my heart, because I've seen him from the day he was born to now, and it's like, this kid has grown so much, and I give props to the teachers he's had who have taught him these things and have helped us understand how to help him. I give very much a lot of shout outs to them, because I've just seen the growth he's had from being in daycare and just how he's become more independent at home. We'll be starting the potty training soon, but not yet. Not until about, we said until he was two. So we're ready. I do want to give a shout out to my grandma. She did get him a toilet that makes noise and everything, and has, like, you could put toilet paper and wipes. It's the cutest thing.
Feed me.
But it is awesome. It's going to definitely help us. But I do want to give a shout out to her for all of that, and my parents, of course, and just the little tacks and everything that we've had from them and the help. So it's been awesome.
You know, and, you know, struggling with that too. I mean, we've talked about it all the time, how I feel like with my work schedule, I feel like I'm never home. I feel like I'm missing so much. You know, it didn't dawn on me until about a month ago. I forgot where we were, but he was talking up a storm.
It was at your mom's.
My mom's. And oh my goodness, was this kid just talking up a storm, running around, chasing the cat. And it makes me, you know, stop and think, oh my God, I feel like I've blinked already, and he's going to be two in March.
He's going to be two in March. It's insane.
I can't wait for that birthday party, though.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait to see, because, well, with Christmas, it's just the way he will light up again. Like, he was so excited about all those presents and everything and seeing everyone. It's a lot, but at the same time, he's going to love the attention. He loves having the attention on him.
He's definitely a bubbly extrovert.
Oh my goodness. Today when we were at the grocery store, he was smiling and waving, and he's just a sweetie. I mean, every time we go anywhere, anytime we're with family, he's just cracking up, or he's making everyone laugh, because he's just this bubbly little year and a half year old. I mean, he's, what, 21 months?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah,
he's about 21 months old, and it's crazy to see how far he's come from when he was before.
Yeah, so I would say, you know, just, I think we can both agree that, you know, he's growing way too fast, you know. Don't blink anymore, because you know damn
I'm
well.
I'm trying to hold my eyeballs open.
You know damn well you blink again.
He's gonna be three.
First day of kindergarten is gonna be here, and I know for sure.
Every day that I'm gonna cry.
Shelby, you cry every day. You know, trying to understand, I guess, you know, and our hormones are a little bit different, you know, being man versus woman, you know, not that we're getting into like biological talk or anything like that. You know, but parents still feel the same things, right? you know, excitement for their kid with their development, for them learning. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, you love seeing them learn new things.
Oh my God, I love seeing him learn. And it's just the way he takes in things is just my favorite. He's learning wise. He's looking at me like I'm crazy. Taking in things is like learning and register everything in his brain that's slowly developing. And it's just, of course, being from a teacher perspective, but also a mom perspective, it's like you want him to grow, you want him to develop the right way. And it's just, I love it. I love the way he's growing. Like, it's amazing.
So I guess in turn, let me ask you this then, what do you want to see him accomplish this year?
Honestly, I would just want him to continue to like learn everything we've been working on at home with his colors, his numbers. We can count to three.
He doesn't see color.
He does. Yes, he does.
I'm kidding.
Yes, he does.
That's a joke. I'm just kidding.
He can count to three. It's the cutest thing. You can ask my parents. But just continuing to see him grow and talk and just forming words is my favorite, because trying to get him to form a word, it takes what, about three or four tries to say the right one. He can say everything. His new favorite word now is Irish. It's the cutest thing we'll have to
get. Sure, you sure it's not I wish?
I wish. No. It's Irish. We've taught him that since, and today, what was it?
You've taught him that. What are you kidding me?
It was touchdown in football today, so that was really cute. But
anybody knows me knows that I'm not really a college football guy. You know, it's nothing personal. You know, I my wife will tell you I talk my fair, you know, amount of smack about Notre Dame. We're gonna get into that in a second. Yes. Here, just to, you know, touch on one more thing about Jimmy is that, you know, I've never seen him really get frustrated.
No,
There
are times that he gets frustrated, but usually the thing ends up across the room because he's just like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to deal with it anymore.
And usually it's me wanting to yeet him across the room.
Yeah. Usually he gets in that. We're working on personal space. We're working on kind of giving him his space, but also giving us space.
Oh my God, you need to try harder. I was eating Panera mac and cheese earlier.
Oh, and editing.
And trying to edit the last episode, and this kid literally just comes up and jumps up on top of me. Mm-hmm. I'm like
a bubble invader right now. Yeah, so we're working on it.
I'm just like, can you give me some personal space here? And I know toddlers, right? Mm-hmm. Toddlers are assholes, they're menaces. They will push your buttons and try and completely push boundaries, right?
Exactly.
Which is completely normal. I'm not saying anything against that. It just would be nice if one of these days we'll work on self-awareness. And I know we're a little bit too young.
A little too young to understand what that is. I mean, this is the kid we call Baby Johnny Knoxville because of everything he does. And it's just the personal space is what we work on the most at home and at school with his friends. We kind of work on that, and we want to continue to watch him grow and work on it. Basically, we've been working on the, if I don't want you in my bubble, you don't want me in your bubble, you gotta give us some space. So we've been working on it a lot with him.
You know, and then too, you know, hopefully the nice thing about his new school is I hope that there aren't any kids in his class that are biters or like to hit or try to hurt their friends. Because I got to tell you, that was probably the one most frustrating thing about your last job is, and you know, we've talked about that little about that before. I'm not going to come in here bashing on daycares and employers just because it's not my style. You know, it happened. I would just prefer that it doesn't happen.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. It was hard being the mom that was there working at that one and getting the call and having to go deal with that. And then it was a lot, but I'm excited for this new school for him and seeing where he goes and how he grows from it all. And, we've been working on he does bite, but he wants to give you love.
Is he a dog?
No, it's just he we're working on this thing where if he goes to give you a kiss and it's open mouth, be prepared to either get bit or just to be covered in slobber because you think he's just wanting to give you all this love.
You're describing a dog. Speaking of dogs, boy, would I sure hate to be a bulldog in Georgia tonight. Shelby, you are so excited watching the game. I laugh because you guys were off big.
We were.
And then Georgia gets in the end zone. And I kept telling you, the game is pretty much in doubt. Mm-hmm. So much has to happen, you know, for them to come back. Give me some of your takeaways in the game here. What takeaways did you have?
Honestly, I think we were talking about during the game. I was very impressed with the offensive line. I know we kind of struggled on it a little bit. Defense line came in and kicked ass. I'm going to give a huge respect to Ryan Leonard, the quarterback of Notre Dame. He has this eye. I told James, he's got this eye for when if he's stuck or he's struggling in a position, he either A, runs, or he throws the ball away. Even tonight when he threw the ball to one of them, I don't remember who it was.
Well, it's your team. You tell me.
There's so many of them.
You talking about the touchdown pass that he made right before the half?
Yes. That touchdown pass where he was stuck between about seven or eight guys, and he found his opening.
That was Bo Collins, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm not even a Notre Dame fan. Get it together, Shelby. You know what? You claim to be this big Notre Dame fan, and you probably can't even name half the roster. You probably still think that Ian Book is their quarterback, don't you?
Riley Green.
What are we talking about here?
It's hard because they're both, yeah. Riley Leonard, I am very impressed with how this kid plays. He's just phenomenal. Just the way he portrays his quarterback as just being another kid on the team. He doesn't have an ego. He doesn't have this big head levelness that I call it. He's very down to earth, very, very respectful of his team. We watched Inside Notre Dame, and it was phenomenal with what Marcus Freeman did and just what he does with these guys. And Riley's the same way. Riley's very down home, very respectful of his team. And if they get in a hard position or if he gets in a hard position, they know how to respect him and how to protect him, basically. So,
you know, I told you before that game even started, Notre Dame was going to have to play damn near perfect. Okay. Granted, there were a lot of things that they could work on. Mm-hmm. You know, first series ends and there's two running into the kicker penalties. The difference in this one, though, was that you had those big plays happen. Mm-hmm. Georgia's, I don't even remember the kid's name, 39, the kid that got called for the interference with the ref on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
On that big, huge play for Georgia. You know, just shooting yourself in the foot. You know, but the difference between Notre Dame and Georgia tonight was Georgia didn't take care of the football.
No.
100% did not take care of the football, and Notre Dame capitalized off of it.
They did really good.
That's what
I am going to give this huge shout out to that freaking special teams play. Me and you are still talking about it.
We're not there yet. Can you just.
The team was amazing.
I'm going to quote one of my good friends here. Shelby, shut the fuck up. I'm just kidding. It caught us so off guard New Year's Eve with a couple of our friends. And he looked at his wife and he's like, will you shut the fuck up? Like, it made me laugh. It was good times. Obviously, you're going to need some context behind that. I'm not giving it to you because we're not talking about that.
No.
you know, but going back to it, you get those huge stops on fourth down. You take care of the football. Mm-hmm. You're able to capitalize off of turnovers. Next play after quarterback for Georgia fumbles the football, and his name is
Gunner Stockton. Gunner Stockton.
When Gunner turns the ball over, and then Riley Leonard, you know, of course, hits Bo Collins in the end zone the very next play. They had like 17 points in a matter of 2 minutes of game time, you know, because you're sitting pretty right at 13-3 going into the half.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, to start the third quarter, you get the ball.
Yeah.
And really made a huge mistake kicking it to Jaden Harrison. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you're not kicking the ball out of the back of the end zone.
Exactly.
You know, but he really gets you going with that return touchdown to start the second half. And then, Cash Jones throws that touchdown pass. Catches that touchdown pass. I'm sorry. So trying to think about Gunner and Cash, you know.
There is a guy on their team called Cash. So it's hard to pick between.
His name is Cash Jones. Just send your cash.
Oh my God.
You know, and then Mitch Jeter, you know, just looking like his old self tonight and making field goals that, you know, 44 and 48 yards.
Very proud of him tonight. You know, I know my dad's going to say the same thing. He was very impressed with this team and very happy that they went this far and were continuing to grow. And I texted him after the win and he goes, they did it. I texted him. I was like, we did it. We made it. And he even was like, I know, it's crazy. I'm hoping we make it farther. Honestly,
you know, and that's the one thing, though, that's the one somber moment that is within your fan base right now is what happens if Jeremiah Love can't go.
That's going to be the hard part because he is very much part of our team and it's going to be hard. But with what he did tonight, I am very impressed. He got hurt in the fourth quarter.
I think it was the third. As far as I know, he never returned to the game.
He never returned, but he had a knee brace on.
Let's be real here. You're up by two touchdowns, essentially, late in that game. You're not going to bring running back one into risk a potential for a further injury. So, you know, you and I were going back and forth about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did see a couple streaks come to an end tonight.
Yeah.
Riley Leonard rushing touchdowns, and then as well as Jeremiah Love with the rushing touchdowns in consecutive games. Still both have school records.
Yeah. Well, Riley tonight, I'm looking right now, he's got 90 yards tonight with one touchdown.
That's not good. I just want you to know.
But I mean, he tops it in his school of Notre Dame, of course. And
the school of Notre Dame. That's very, very insightful there, Bobby McFarland. You know, the reason why Notre Dame won the game tonight is because they put up more points on the board than the Georgia Bulldogs, okay?
They did put more points up on the board than Georgia Bulldogs. It was a good game. I'm very proud of these boys and how hard they worked. And I'm very impressed with how they continued to even push past Jeremiah getting hurt, and they still put out a hell of a game. And
well, do you think the game turns on its head if that's in the second quarter as opposed to the third?
Yes. I feel like if that was to happen in the second quarter, I felt like maybe they would have fallen apart. I think if that happened, that whole second half wouldn't have gone as far as it did. But having it happen in the second half of the game, and that kind of had everyone else step up and was like, okay, we got one of our teammates down. We got to step up and take care of this so we win to make sure all of that happens.
Now, you're getting ready next week to play Penn State. Mm-hmm. Big Ten team here. You know, before we get into that, is the SEC overrated?
Honestly, yes. To me, it is because what we did tonight is we knocked out the top four teams. Top four. Oregon, Georgia.
Well, hold on. Notre Dame did not. All of the top four seeds lost
basically.
Basically all the ones that had buys to start the college football playoff all lost in the quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. Now, Penn State only has two losses on the year. Sorry, I had to think about that for a second. Their only two losses are to Oregon and Ohio State. And on the other side, you got Texas and Ohio State. You know, you look at some of these other college football teams, and I know you hate Ohio State.
Can't stand them. Can't stand Texas either. Sorry, I can't.
You know, the Longhorns.
Is that Longhorns? Yeah. Can't stand the Longhorns.
You know, we talk about this all the time, and, you know, like, I'm not a college football guy, but, you know, I look at Ohio State's offense and how Ryan Day can't seem to make a quality game plan, per se, especially against Michigan.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So that's where I think there was a point in here, I promise. I'm just, you know, point being, I think, speaking of Penn State for a second, you know, you know, Notre Dame is starting to shrug off that we're choke artists in big moments type things. I think you saw that last week with Indiana. Yeah. Now you saw it this week with Georgia.
I know everyone keeps talking about week two with Northern. It's
go Huskies. The kick is locked.
I think after that week, I think Marcus Freeman kind of kicked him in the ass and was like, let's go. We're going to take this one loss and we're going to shove it down everyone else's throats to make sure we go as far as we are. I'm very proud of that they made it past the first round. I know the first round has always been the hardest with these guys. And I know we've made it like one time or before that I remember that they made it to the second round. But
well, to be fair, this is the first year of the new college football playoff.
This is now, new. It was only the top four teams.
If this was the old college football playoff, we're not even having this conversation now. Because you know damn well that good old college football playoff committee would have found a way to get number 18 Alabama into the college football playoff. And I'm so glad it didn't happen. Because you know what? You can only have a team, you know, skate off their good-looking offense for so long. Nick Saban goes away. He retires. That team is garbage.
Yeah, it is.
And I feel like, you know, people talk about how the SEC was able to pay its players.
Yeah.
And how there was some impropriety possibly going on in there. Now you see the playing field level, right? Now you see the SEC not as dominant. Granted, don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of players going in and out of the transfer portal.
There is, yeah.
Which I think is an abomination.
It is.
Really, when you think about it. Because if you, like, let's say, for example, me. I pick the school that I want to go to. So you're telling me if you don't like how things are going, you're just going to run away. And
to go to a school that is, like, top four, top five, like, qualified. Like, the one that I remember the most today watching that inside Notre Dame was, what was his name? Oh, fudge. One of the players put himself in the transfer portal, and Marcus was very like, you know what? This is his decision. He's a grown man. It's hard to be that person who's like, why? Like, well, I understand he's the coach.
But to me, it's not fair to your coaches and your teammates.
Exactly. It's not fair to them to have to go through this.
And they work so hard throughout the year.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't do that personally myself. No. To me, if you pick a school, you commit to that school, and you write it out for better or worse.
Exactly.
All right. And if you're good enough, like, let's say, for example, if I go to, we'll just use Georgia as an example. I go to Georgia, man, you know, I don't get as much playing time as I want to because there's somebody better than me on the roster. But hey, you know, I could go here, potentially get a starting spot, or I can buckle down. I can work hard, potentially steal that starting spot. But think about it this way. You have NFL aspirations. Are you going to reward a guy who has that mentality with a high draft pick? Or are you going to go with the guy? Because they look at, you know, I'm not going, a lot of teams go strictly off of talent.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's a lot of teams in there that go off of character as well.
They do.
And to me, you know, it goes back to an old saying by an old Eagles coach, Dick Vermeil.
Yeah.
A team with character is going to find a way to beat a team with talent. because character is only tested when you're up against it. So one of my favorite quotes, loosely off of the movie Invincible, but we're neither here nor there. So, you know, we talked a little bit about Penn State and, you know, what they got going on over there. What are your kind of predictions for this game? How do you see this one going?
I feel like Notre Dame's going to go all the way. I think I put that in perspective with Georgia. They just need to continue to fight. They just need to continue to put all of their 110% power into what they do. And just the way they all work together. They all will defend each other with it. And if they're stuck in a spot, they know how to get out of it. Like, I know there was a couple instances today where we were watching that we were like, shit, I don't know if they're going to get out of this. But they were able to buckle down and kick the shit out of Georgia and move where they needed to.
I mean, it was the most lopsided 23-10 win I've ever seen. Yeah. You know, that game was really not as close as the scoreboard said. I mean, granted, after the first quarter and, you know, you're sitting over here, you're kind of just anxious, you know, anxiously sitting here. Okay. And that's kind of like the, no pun intended here, not having a dog in the fight. It's kind of why I like, you know, watching different sports so that I can watch it from a different perspective.
Exactly.
It's so much more anxious when you're, you know, a fan of one of these teams. You know, trying to watch them, you know, do their thing and get their game going. So I got a little indigestion there for a second. So the Blackhawks pregame live, they kind of do like a pick to click. Okay, so who's going to be the guy that's going to get Notre Dame going?
For Penn
State? No. Yeah, for that Penn State game. Who's going to have to be the guy that's going to have to be on his A game in order for them to win?
I'm going to say probably, I'm going to refer back to both of them, their defense and offensive lines. They need to be on top of, like, just being there to...
I asked you for a player, not 14 of them, Shelby.
A player? Oh, God. I can never say his name. Oh, what was his name? Hold on.
You're not talking Bo Collins, are you?
No.
You sure?
It was the... Oh, fudge. This is going to drive me crazy. The...
Shitskies. Yeah, we're going to go with Mitch Jeter, the kicker, for Shelby's answer. Thank you very much for participating. Killing me with this dead air here.
I can't think of his name. It's the, Samoan one. I can't think... Oh! Junior Tui Halamaka?
Tuli Malahara.
Thank you.
I don't even like this team. Come on. Get it together.
He was very on point of taking out Gunner. I swear I'm going to say his name like that every time now. Taking out Gunner and defending and breaking through the holds and just the way he played was phenomenal tonight. It was like a whole new line. It was awesome. I just thought the way he...
You like the way he what? Like he played?
He played, basically.
So, geez, I'm going to have to wait an hour here to get your answer. Fuck's sake. I'm just kidding. All right, so... I don't want to go with an obvious one like Riley Leonard. I think he's going to handle that offense. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go more defensive side. I'm going to say Jack Kaiser needs to be on his A game.
He does.
Making sure that, you know, Notre Dame is getting those stops, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to those third down and long plays and even third downs in general. I mean, Georgia went, what, 2 for 12 mm-hmm. on third down?
Yeah.
Got that one lucky pass interference penalty where if it wasn't for a freaking millisecond, that doesn't get called.
Yeah.
You know, so we've talked a little bit about Notre Dame and everything. What excites you the most about Marcus Freeman, though? Because you speak very highly of the man.
Gosh. got time? I just love the way he communicates with the team. I just love the way that he will take time to... Right. Today we were watching that, and it was watching the way he...
I was forced to watch this. I just want everybody... to know that for the record. Shelby forced me to sit down and watch Here Come the Irish. So stop twisting words here. You liar.
I like the way he sat down with his captains, and there was this part in the show where he sat down with them and discussed how they wanted to play, how they wanted their team to grow, how they wanted their teammates to grow in the game, and they all gave their word and what they wanted, and it was the way he communicates and the way he respects the team, the way he respects his players, the way he speaks very highly of his coaches, and just the way he's this down-home family man, but when he gets with the boys and...
I'm sorry, did you just say down-home?
Down-home?
Like, you mean like down-to-earth?
Down-home, that's what I mean.
Shelby, I've never heard that expression before.
Oh my god, I say it all the time. Down-to-earth, sorry, down-to-earth. Down-to-earth family man with all of them, and just the way he respects the team and the way he wants this team to grow and be the best of the best. And I think a few weeks ago he said he wanted his team to destroy. He wanted his team to defend. He wanted them to kick ass. Like, that was my favorite.
So I'm going to jump in here for a second because you just said, you know, wants them to destroy. Mm-hmm. That speech that I heard during that the show that we're mm-hmm. watching today had me ready to run through a wall. Yeah. There's not very
practice. They're watching video.
Right. But there's not very many coaches in sports mm-hmm. that can make you sit there and you listen to them and go, man, I would run through a wall for this guy.
Exactly. It's just the way he's grown and how do I say it? The way he's taught this team to become who they are is my absolute favorite that I've seen him do. Of course, Brian Kelly left, they moved him in, and I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. But the second I saw him and the way he defended this team and took over, and it was like they knew him from day one. They knew how he was going to coach. Then he started to grow these last few seasons, and it's just been amazing seeing him the way he does it with the guys and how he coaches them. And his staff is my favorite because they will take the time to work on things. If something goes wrong in a game, like week two, they have improved every single week that I've seen.
Were you surprised Marcus Freeman didn't try to follow Rudy into the transfer portal after Northern Illinois beat them at Notre Dame Stadium?
No. No.
That one went way over your head, didn't it?
A little bit.
That's okay. So, big game against Penn State. You got a score? Prediction?
I'm going to say 30. I'm going to say 30 to 12.
That is a really bold statement that you're going to hold Penn State. I do too think that Notre Dame gets in the national mm-hmm. title game. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a little bit closer. I'm going to say 24-17.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's going to be a tight game. I mean, I know tonight we're both going to, like, we even said tonight was going to be the, literally, like, Clash of the Titans is what I was like, this team is going to be fighting for the title is what I say it is.
Well, and, you know, that's the thing, too, is that, you know, unfortunately with these SEC teams is they draw a lot of national attention, mm-hmm. a lot of hype. Beck didn't play their starting quarterback, mm-hmm. yet somehow people still are saying, oh, they're going to run over Notre Dame. And I didn't see it from the start.
No.
Speaking of yawning here, we're going to get into a pretty boring subject here in a second.
Oh, God. I'm going to take a nap.
Winter Classic was a couple of nights ago, and I got to tell you, NHL, if you ever listen to this, stop putting the fucking Blackhawks in outdoor games. They don't show up for them. Here's my thing.
They don't show up when it's not even an outdoor game, though.
Well, and, you know, that's the thing we talk about. So they're a rebuilding team, right? Mm-hmm. But to come out and you give goals like they're candy mm-hmm. to the St. Louis Blues in this Winter Classic game, there isn't really one positive I can really point out from that game other than Foligno fighting Shen.
I think that's the only thing that I can really see out of that whole night. I mean, it was a downfall. We literally were like, why the hell why would you have that? Why the hell would you have a game like that? Like, it was ridiculous.
Well, you know, not only that, but, you know, you have a rebuilding club that still is learning how to play. But they've now gotten blown out. They've gotten blown out the past three games now. Really embarrassing losses. Yeah. I mean, nobody's saying you got to win every game here.
No.
Before, they were competitive. But I still don't feel like Anders Sorensen is that guy.
No, and I've seen it. Now I'm starting to see it more. It's like, they're going to say, oh, they're rebuilding. It's how these guys work together. Like, to me, it's like if you have an issue or you're having a struggle with this team, you need to sit down with the coaches, the manager, the higher ups, and be like, what the hell are we doing wrong? Like, why are they not doing what we want them to do when you give them something to do for that part of the game and they fuck it up anyways? It's like, to me, it's just beyond stupidity. Like, it's ridiculous.
That was probably the most vague fucking description of anything I've ever heard.
I didn't want to go into detail too much about it. So.
That's why we're here. Love the vagueness from my wife on, oh, they're just supposed to do what they're supposed to do. I'm just playing with you.
They're supposed to do what they're supposed to do, but yet they can't even show up most nights.
Is there any reason people should be excited about this team?
No. Everyone's going to be like, oh, it's Connor Bedard, but no.
Dude, but even he sucks this year.
Exactly. He's not. And he gets pissed off and breaks sticks. It's like, then pull your heads out of your asses. Sorry, Blackhawks, but pull your heads out of your asses and do your fucking job.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is like you just said, do your job. I put a lot of this on Kyle Davidson. Mm-hmm. You had an opportunity to build around Connor Bedard this year. And I know they're a little bit older. You had a chance to go get a Jonathan Marchessault, mm-hmm. who's struggling in Nashville right now. Steven Stamkos also struggling. I'm not saying go out and get Stamkos. Mm-hmm. You needed to bring in a guy who is a superstar that Connor Bedard can look up to, you know, and sort of learn to play the game. I guess just continue building, you know, off of last year, because last year he did have a good season.
He did.
You know, despite missing a lot of games due to that broken jaw, mm-hmm. and then the fact that the Blackhawks were just hot garbage last year. Same story, different, or, you know, same story, different year. You know, I look at this team, I don't see a reason to get excited. You know, we're going to the game a week from Saturday.
Mind you, this is Jimmy's first game. So even if they win or lose, it's more about his experience and how he likes it.
I swear to God, if these motherfuckers give up 10 goals to the Edmonton Oilers because Peter Mrazek's in net and can't make a fucking save, I'm going to flip shit. Mm-hmm.
I told you the other day, I'm not a fan of Mrazek. I wish Soderblom played the Winter Classic. I wish they put him in to give this kid a chance, but they put Mrazek in, and it was like leading the blind. Like, that's what he was doing.
And here's my thing. I'll give Mrazek benefit of the doubt for a couple of those goals. Mm-hmm. First one, Teravainen, like, loses his footing in front of him. He can't see the shot.
No.
You know, there are, you know, the tip goals. There's other, you know, times where, you know, he just can't see the puck.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, well, fine. Fuck it. So be it. But then you get into those other times where they're the easiest saves. That one, and I don't remember who scored it, but I think it was Kyrou. Mm-hmm. Puck goes on the pad. And then just the rebound just sits there and gets chipped up over him. And I know people are going to say, it's the defense, it's the defense, it's the defense.
It's really not.
Okay. But here's the thing. Sure it is. Sure it is. But here's my thing. You got the young guys in. You got Vlasic. You got Crevier.
Yep.
Nolan Allen. Okay. Those are going to be three pretty big superstars for you going forward in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe not Nolan Allen. He's a rookie still, so he's still learning the game, as is Vlasic and Crevier. You know, but you go out and you spend money on a fucking pylon like TJ Brody, made of glass Alec Martinez, where it almost felt like if you can't beat him, or, you know, sign him situation.
Yeah.
You know, not getting into that because that'll just really irritate the shit out of me. I can't relive 2014 again.
No.
you know, but then you have Seth Jones, who comes back from being hurt, the Blackhawks played better without him.
They did. They did. It's like a whole different dynamic when one player is gone and you're playing better, and the second that player comes back, it's like the whole dynamic goes down the freaking drain.
You know, when we talk about the moves, though, Craig Smith. Craig Smith's had two good games this year. Taylor Hall has maybe had three good games this year. But where I draw the line, where I have an issue with, what the fuck is Taylor Hall doing? What the fuck is Philip Kurashev doing? Kurashev looks lost.
They do.
Out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're seeing them start to bring up guys from the AHL. Mm-hmm. And I think Frank Nazar is a fantastic player. He's going to be a great player.
He's good.
He needs to go back to Rockford and continue to develop.
He does, yeah.
You know, bring up a Cole Gutman, a Brett Cini, you know, to sort of come up and try and jumpstart that offense. Because the way who he's playing with right now, and like Bedard, he's trying to do way absolutely too much. Where, you know, just shoot the puck.
Exactly.
It's been their MO, that's been their problem for years now.
Is they try to get too fancy, and that's where they get stuck. And that's where they lose the puck.
We even said that a lot when Patrick Kane was still on the team. Mm-hmm. There was that Patrick Kane effect of, oh my God, 88's on the ice. I got to get the puck to him. Instead of taking good shots, good quality shots, getting pucks and people to the net. That's been their problem right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see a lot of these guys just going out there for cardio, not getting any shots on net, just skating, just gliding.
Yeah.
They're better off, you know, trying to join the gymnastics or what do we call it? What do you call those? Figure skaters. Sorry. Bigger skating team, you know, it's just it absolutely boggles my mind here. So I guess what would you like to see them do differently then?
My God. Honestly, like I said, pull their heads out of their asses. Do your job. Honestly, just work on the communication, the passing the puck. If you got a chance, take the fucking chance. Like, that's what I want to see is if you have a chance to shoot or you have a chance to score, take it instead of being so damn fancy and just shoot the puck. Like,
so I'm going to go completely nuclear here. At the end of the season, I'm firing Sorensen, mm-hmm. where Sorensen can go back to Rockford.
Exactly.
He's not a bad guy. And none of this is really his fault. It's the roster that he was given. I'm yeeting Davidson to the moon.
Oh, my God.
Jamie Faulkner can go back to wherever she came from because that's not it.
No.
And I'm forcing the Wirtz family to sell the team.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, you look at the state of Chicago sports right now, outside of the Cubs, because the Cubs have the most recent championship.
Yeah.
And don't bring up the fucking sky, okay? I'm not going there, but I'm talking about our Chicago sports teams that people actually pay attention to.
Yeah.
The Sky are not one of those. Good for them that they're, you know, a really good WNBA team. I'm not knocking the WNBA here.
No.
But I look at the major sports teams that are supported in this city. The Bulls and White Sox with Jerry Reinsdorf could use new ownership. The Bears could use...
They were even chanting that at the last game.
Well,
that they
needed to sell the team. Sell the team. There's too many of them, unfortunately.
There are too many.
And then, you know, the Wirtz family just needs to sell. And, you know, it's frustrating to me as a fan. You know, usually one team in your area has a bad year.
Mm-hmm. But when, what? One, two, three, four teams? Out of five?
Every team missed the playoffs this year for like the third year in a row. I mean, the Cubs were the closest, but, you know, we're not going to get into that really right now. The Bears are just the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just, it's frustrating to me that you have people in positions that, A, don't know what they're doing, mm-hmm. or B, they just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with the Bulls and Blackhawks. Oh my God, we're making money. We're not changing anything. Well, do you really think that if you're as bad as you are, why are ticket prices as high as they are? Now, granted, I'm not paying money to go see this team. I'm absolutely fucking not gonna waste my money. You know, we were talking about it before that we wanted to go to the Winter Classic game.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad we did.
My God, do you understand how pissed off I would have been if we would have went and that result happens.
It would have been fun for us, but at the same time, I think it would just be, as a Chicago fan, just really pissed. Like, what the fuck is the point of it?
Well, if you remember, we went to a Blackhawks Flames game when I was still working at Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten off early. I'm like, yeah, let's go to the game. It's going to be fun. And this was back when Arvid Soderblom made his NHL debut. Yeah. They ended up getting like twomped, like 6-2.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh my God, I want my money back.
Yeah.
And I think
that's what a lot of people are saying about it, though. It's like, if I'm spending over $1,000, like, I should be...
Give me the name and number to your parents or your sugar daddies or sugar mamas, because I need some of that.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. Like, people who have, like, the season tickets, it frustrates me, because it's like, people are wasting money on teams that aren't even showing up. Like, that to me is just... It's frustrating, honestly. Like, I wouldn't even... Honestly, I wouldn't spend my money on it until they got better.
You know, we're getting to the point, too, where it's like, if they're not going to be competitive, why am I going to sit down and watch them for 2.5 hours?
Exactly. We said the same thing during the Winter Classic. We were like, hey, we're done.
Well, you know, so many blown chances that here and there just really sucked. Couple more questions here before we get into the ending part of our show. Are they winning the draft lottery this year?
No.
Okay, so you say no. So where are they picking then?
I have no idea.
Honestly. So I think we can both agree they're picking in the top five.
Yeah. Yeah, the top five, honestly. If they don't get the number one spot, I mean, they're going to probably be 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. I mean, honestly, I'd put them at the end of the list if I could.
Well, no, they're not going to draft 32nd. No. What is wrong with you? They don't draft... You draft 32nd if you are, like, the President's Trophy winners.
Oh, God.
And I think we can both agree we're an entire team away from that. You know, and it's really frustrating to me, too. They have so many good wins on their resume. Mm-hmm. You beat a Dallas Stars team. You beat a Minnesota Wild team. Mm-hmm. You beat... The Florida Panthers. You beat the Washington Capitals, who were the second best team in the NHL at the time. Why is it so hard to find consistency, not only in your game, because obviously you're going to have up and down nights, like anybody, they're human. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's sometimes where you lose that want or will, you lose that, we call it a killer instinct, mm-hmm. when it comes to being, you know, in athletics,
yeah.
and whatnot. And to me, if I was a pro athlete and I'm playing on the Blackhawks, I'm saying, listen, there are 20,000 fucking people here to watch us play. Let's at least try to put on a show and see what we can't do for them. Because ultimately, they're the ones who are paying your salary. They're the ones that are there to cheer you on. And God bless you, Blackhawks fans that still go to the United Center. Because it's not for the faint of heart. Being a Chicago sports fan in general is not for the mentally weak right now.
No, it's not.
You know, we are so far away from relevancy with really any of our teams. You know, so I commend you on that. It's just something's going to have to give here. And I think it's going to happen to where people aren't going to stop going to games. Mm. And then we're going to be right back where we were in those dark days of the early 2000s where the team is now irrelevant and nobody gives a fuck about hockey in Chicago again. And I don't want to go back to that. I lived through that. That was my childhood. Then the Blackhawks finally got that TV contract, which don't get me started on that, because you claim to be for Chicago and all about Chicago. But here's the thing. Because supposedly this deal with Chicago Sports Network was supposed to go into effect 2 years ago. Like, they've been working on this now for 2 years. If you're going to cut ties with NBC Sports Chicago, you're going to have these fucking TV deals in place already, right? Yeah. Not just, you need an antenna to watch the game. Or, you know, luckily, my parents were nice enough to hook us up with their DirecTV login to where we
have... Thank you, amazing in-laws.
You know, it just goes without saying that, you know, you can't claim to be... about your fan base, but then make it extremely hard to access.
Mm-hmm. That's the hard part. It's like, we have to stream it. Like, it's like, we don't have dirt. Like, we don't have DirecTV.
I'm not paying $200 a month for that. Absolutely not.
I'd rather have streamed it. But at the same time, it's like, it's not even worth streaming anymore. Like, that to us, it's like, when we know they're on, like, okay, yeah, we're going to watch it. But at the same time, we're like, if we're going to get blown out, what the hell is the point? Like, why watch them if we're going to lose anyways?
Well, that's why, too, like, when the Bears are on. Oh, and, like, God. If I have to go do laundry, like, because I know how much you love the Chicago Bears. You know, when they get better and they start winning Super Bowls, I hope you keep that same energy.
Okay, I know people are going to say, why not? I'm not a fan of the NFL. I've never been a fan of the NFL. I just despise that they are just overpaid athletes, is what I call them. Honestly. That's always been my motto, is that they're overpaid athletes. If you can't catch a ball, or you can't throw it, or you can't do what you need to do to win a game, you shouldn't get paid.
And that goes without saying, you know, there have been times throughout my life that I've needed the police, the firefighters. Mm-hmm. Everybody always needs the military. Mm-hmm. You know, you always need a teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, you always need, you know, chefs and servers, you know, at restaurants, you know, when you go there, you know.
The essentials.
The essential services. Thank you. I have never once in my life said I need an actor, a musician.
God, no.
An athlete or any of these people that are glorified. You know, we talked about this on the last episode about not caring what celebrities and these people think. We need to stop looking at these people like they're gods and look at it for what it is. They're there to entertain you.
Exactly.
And, you know, I look at watching sports as my kind of escape from reality.
It's like you're decompressing.
Basically. That's why I'm jumping on, you know, and playing NHL every night, because, you know, I need that decompress. Yeah. Everybody needs a hobby to decompress.
Everybody needs a hobby to kind of decompress. And it's just, it's hard to watch, like, some of the sports, because sometimes you're just like, it's not worth it. But to us, it's kind of just something we throw on to decompress. Like, even tonight, we threw on a couple of the hockey games just to kind of decompress from the fun.
Fuck that. You made me watch Notre Dame for 3 fucking hours. I was watching some hockey tonight, god damn it. And then I'm gonna play hockey tonight, god damn it. I'm just kidding. You know, it just goes without saying, you know, when that escape from reality frustrates you, it just it makes everything else frustrating.
It does. It like turns you in. Like, if your team is losing, like, it bums your energy and it bums your attitude, like, the whole rest of the day. Like, how are you going to feel after your team either wins, or how you're going to feel after they lose? Like, to me, it's just like tonight, of course, like, I'm in a good mood because our team won. But at the same time, it's like, when you see the Bears or the Blackhawks or the Cubs or the other two that I will not mention.
Shelby's a huge White Sox fan.
I'm not. Do not. I was born and raised a Cubs fan.
I know how mad you were in 2016. On November 2nd. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing with you. You were so mad. You cried in your car because the Indians lost. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing.
No, I cried on the floor when the Cubs won. So.
Is that because you're an Indians fan? I'm just kidding.
Promise.
All right. Well, I thought that was some great discussion about sports and whatnot. Kind of getting into the end of our episode here. What's a message you have for our listeners for, I keep thinking it's fucking Monday. You know, we're going to try to do this as more and more as we go on, until our, you know, we post our next episode. Like, what's kind of a message you have for our listeners?
Like, daily or just?
No, just like weekly.
Honestly, just make it a good week. Just make it a good week for yourself. Make it a good week for your family. If you're having a rough day, just kind of take yourself and kind of just decompress. Read, go for a walk, talk to a friend, or just give yourself some time alone. Pamper. Self-care is always the best. But yeah, just make it a good week and make it a good one.
If you're struggling, don't tell anyone about it. Be a man. I'm just playing.
In the words of my husband.
You know, Sorry, Boston Via Man gets me every time. I love that dude. I guess my message for you is that, you know, this week, this year, you know, every day is not going to be all sunshine and rainbows. You know, not to like be, you know, cliche-ish or however the fuck you say
cliche.
It.
You're good.
Not use cliches here. You know, it ain't about hard to get hit. It's about, you know, you getting up after you get hit. And I'm loosely paraphrasing there. That's not the direct quote. I swear to God, if I start hearing, that's not what that quote says, I will pull up on location and be ready to go with you. No, but, you know, it's not all going to be sunshine and rainbows. Realize that a bad day is better than 6 feet underground. So just try to be your happiest. Live every day. Try your best and be the best version of yourself that you can be. Obviously, you're going to have days where you struggle. But try your best to persevere and work through it. With that being said, I'm James.
I'm Shelby.
This has been the JNS Podcast, sponsored by no one. We hope you enjoyed listening. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Bye, guys.